Welcome everyone to pre-ICANN 60 policy open house at 10 UTC on Thursday, 19th of October 2017. Before we move on, I would like to inform you that we will start with a short briefing by policy development support team, which will be followed by a questions and answers session. I will now hand it over to David Ahle for his opening remarks. David?
Thank you, Ozan. Welcome, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be. My name is David Olive, Senior Vice President for Policy Development Support at ICANN, and I am talking to you from Washington, D.C., where I now work and live. This is a webinar, an open house for all of you in the community to hear about the latest developments in policy and advice work that the various supporting organizations and advisory committees will be taking up at ICANN 60. This is a new format in that we hope to have it more interactive with questions and answers, and we hope that you also are able to refer to the two documents that were recently circulated and issued, the pre-ICANN 60 policy report and the GNSO's policy briefing for ICANN 60. So far, we've had 600 downloads on the pre-ICANN 60 report and over 250 downloads from the community on the GNSO's policy briefings, which provide, of course, detailed information about the policy development work in the GNSO and across the supporting organizations and advisory committees. It's interesting to note that ICANN 60 is, again, our annual general meeting, a very busy time. At the moment, there are 1,500 registered participants. That is likely to rise as well. And there are 354 sessions planned at that ICANN conference. So I have a quick question that I'd like to have you consider as we are going forward, and how many sessions out of the 354 will focus on policy and advice development activities? And the choice is less than 45, 45 to 99, 100 to 150, or over 150. Please vote, and we will have the results at the end of this webinar in my closing remarks, and we'll do some other pop quizzes throughout the session when my colleagues from the policy team will give you highlights of the various priority issues in the policy and advice area. With that, of course, we have to draw your attention to the five cross-community sessions at ICANN 60. These sessions have been developed by you in the community and your community leaders in identifying issues or items that should be brought to the entire ICANN community attention. And these five are the ones that will take place in Abu Dhabi, being organized by the various cross-community members. And here it relates to reporting on the final elements of the work stream two of the accountability working group, looking at domain name abuse and reporting and how it's handled at ICANN, turning to the ICANN reviews, how are they structured, what are the operating standards, and of course a very popular topic for ICANN 60 as well as soon thereafter, I'm sure, the general data protection regulation and its implications for ICANN. And then finally, a session on jurisdictional challenges for ICANN. With that, I will turn it over to my colleagues who are the subject matter experts. And to that extent, thank you very much for your participation. I now turn it over to my colleague, Bart Boswinkle.
Thank you, David, and good day, everybody. I hope you can hear me okay. I will provide you a brief update on the sessions and topics the CCNSO will discuss at ICANN 60, and which may be of relevance to the broader community than just the CCTLDs. First of all, the CCTLD community will be presented with progress on the third CCNSO policy development to date, and the working groups itself will meet. At ICANN 59, the working group was informed on development and since ICANN 59, the working group further discussed some of the topics and developed a working method to move forward and discussed in depth the relevancy of the changes on the ISO 3166 Part 1 standard, names and codes, started to build scenarios around these changes. And this work will continue in Abu Dhabi. As a spin-off of ICANN 59, and this will be was a presentation on ISO 3166, which now will be given to the full community present in Abu Dhabi. And the goal is to provide a better understanding and context to the work of the ISO 3166 maintenance agency. And this is not only relevant for the CCTLDs and CCTLD representatives working in the PDP, but also in the broader contracts on the context of the use of country and territory names as TLDs. So this is a nice segue into my second topic I wanted to talk about, and that's the position and the views of the CCMO with respect to the use of country and territory names, STLDs. In the past, that's me and my colleagues, informed you about the progress of the cross-community working group on country and territory names. However, this working group has been closed by the chartering organizations, the CCMO and GNSO, without coming to a full set of recommendations. So the CCNSO expressed a willingness to participate in the Work Track 5, the geographic names effort, under the new subsequent procedures. However, some in the CCTLD community have some issues because it's a GNSO policy development process, and as such, it's not comparable to a cross-community working group. And the issues are at two levels, effectively. One is around the decision making in the work or in the work track itself, and around the recommendations that will come out of the work track. And second, and that's the second level, and the other issue is the potential overlap of the output of that work track with the work of the CCNSO itself, in particular in the area of IDN CCTLDs and the potential overlap with new DTLDs. And this goes back to the origin of the cross-community working group itself as well. So this will be discussed further in Abu Dhabi, and is part and is on the agenda of the several meetings the CCNSO will have with other communities and with the and it's on the CCNSO meeting agenda. I just want to draw your attention to one other topic or issue related with the geographic names. This is not only an issue with respect of the CCNSO and the CCTLD community organized through the CCNSO, and it is also high on the agenda of the regional organizations, Center and APTLD, and they just recently issued a statement around the use of country and territory names and how CCTLDs could participate in the process, in processes. So up to the next topic, and just briefly, the CCNSO will start or has started the CCNSO meeting strategy review. It's now a small working group is now developing the terms of reference for this review, and that will be presented to the community in Abu Dhabi. And at the core of it is the question whether the current format of CCNSO meetings is still working after 2 years under the new meeting, under the new ICANN general meeting strategy. So this may affect others as well. And finally, just to inform you about a workshop which is unfortunately closed, but I just want to draw your attention to it. In the past, you've been informed about Tech Day as a open session for TLD operators, effectively discussing technical and operational topics. Now, in addition to Tech Day, there is a second group active, which is specifically geared towards the security and stability of, in this case, still limited to CCTLDs. And this group will organize its second workshop. The first one was in, I believe it was in Copenhagen. And the workshop will focus on develop a framework to deal with global DDoS attacks. So although closed, I just wanted to draw your attention that the CCNSO is not just focused on, and CCTLD community is not just focused on policy matters. Thank you. If you have any questions, please enter them into the chat. And I now would like to hand over to Marika. Marika, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Bart. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. And thank you for joining us for the pre-ICANN 60 policy open house session today. So my name is Marika Konings, and I'm the Vice President Policy Development Support for the Generic Name Supporting Organization, also known as the GNSO. As you've hopefully have read the GNSO policy briefings, which were published in preparation for this webinar, as David mentioned earlier, there are many projects underway in the GNSO. A number of those projects you can see listed on this slide. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go into the details of each of these projects, but I would like to encourage you to type any questions you may have in the chat or hold them until the end of the webinar, until we get to the Q&A part of the webinar. And I or my colleagues will do our best to answer any questions you may have. With regards to the priorities for the GNSO at ICANN 60, the GNSO has carved out significant time to allow the different policy development process or PDP working groups to progress on their deliberations. This includes a new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP, and you heard Bart already referencing WorkTrack 5. It includes the next generation registration directory services to replace WHIS. The review of all rights protection mechanisms and all generic top-level domains. In addition, the INGO Curative Rights PDP Working Group will be presenting its proposed final recommendations for community input at ICANN 60. In addition to policy development activities, the GNSO Council also has a number of bilateral meetings scheduled with the ICANN Board, the Country Code Supporting Organization, or CCNSO, we just heard about before my my presentation, and the Governmental Advisory Committee, the GAC, which you'll hear about a little bit further in this presentation. These meetings are to discuss topics and issues of mutual interest. All these sessions, as well as the previous ones mentioned, the PDP working groups, are open to anyone interested to participate in. On Sunday of the meeting, the GNSO has a number of 30-minute slots planned, which focus on a range of issues, such as status updates on the different PDPs, an update by our colleagues of the Global Domains Division, or GDD, on the status of implementation of previously adopted GNSO policy recommendations. We hope to have an update of the second Security, Stability and Resiliency Review Team, or SSR2. A Q&A session is planned with the candidate for the GNSO chair position. I'm happy to report that she's on the call with us today. And an overview of the proposed changes to the GNSO operating procedures and ICANN bylaws as a result of the recommendations of the GNSO bylaw drafting team, which are intended to ensure that the GNSO has the necessary procedures and processes in place to play its part as a decisional participant in the empowered community. Tuesday, also called Constituency Day, is dedicated to GNSO stakeholder group and constituency internal meetings, as well as their joint sessions with the ICANN board. However, having said internal meetings, it's also worth noting that most, if not all, of these meetings are open to anyone interested to observe. The Open GNSO Council meeting on Wednesday is expected to include topics such as the appointment of the next GNSO liaison to the Governmental Advisory Committee, a discussion on the status of the different bylaw-mandated review teams, as well as a possible discussion on next steps in relation to the review of the WHO's conflicts with privacy law procedures. In the second part of the meeting, the new council members will take their seats in addition to the remaining council members, with their first decision being the election of the GNSO chair. The GNSO then wraps up its activities at ICANN 60, with a wrap-up session on Thursday, which is expected to include the appointment of council liaisons to positions that have become vacant with council members stepping down, the appointment of volunteers to lead the GNSO review of the GAC communique that will come out of ICANN 60, and will immediately start on the planning for ICANN 61. So that is, in a nutshell, the GNSO at ICANN 60. With that, I look forward to answering any questions you may have in the chat or as part of the Q&A at the end, and I will hand it over to my colleague, Carlos Reyes.
Thank you very much, Marika. Hello, everyone. This is Carlos Reyes, Policy Support and Community Services Senior Manager. I'm based in the Washington, D.C. office, and today I'll be providing a quick update on the activities of the Address Supporting Organization. You may know, the Address Supporting Organization was established in 2003 through a Memorandum of Understanding between ICANN and the Number Resource Organization. The NRO represents the Internet Number Community and the Autonomous Regional Internet Registries. Today, this includes AFRINIC, APNIC, ARIN, LACNIC, and the RIPE NCC. Through the MOU, the NRO Number Council acts as the ASO Address Council at ICANN. The ASO Address Council coordinates the global policy development work of the Internet Number Community. So what is a global policy? A global policy is a global Internet Number resource proposal that must have the agreement of all RIRs according to the regional policy development processes and ICANN. A global policy must also require specific actions or outcomes on part of the IANA. Currently, there are no global policies under consideration by the ASOAC. However, robust regional policy development continues. For example, at APNIC 44 in September, three proposals reached consensus. Two of these proposals clarified the evaluation criteria for very large IPv6 delegations. Two of the four proposals that reached consensus at LACNIC 28 also addressed IPv6 allocations. And at ARIN 40 earlier this month, five proposals were considered. One has since then been abandoned, three remain under discussion, and one, also about IPv6 registration requirements, is in final comment. More proposals will be considered at the upcoming RIPE NCC and AFRINIC meetings. Moving on to the ASO review, the NRO Executive Council, in communication with the ICANN Board Organizational Effectiveness Committee, selected an independent examiner earlier this year to conduct the organizational review of the ASO. The independent examiner published its final report in late July. The final report contains 18 recommendations, and the Internet Number Community continues its deliberations through regional consultations. Both the ASO Address Council and the NRO Executive Council are tracking these discussions to coordinate on next steps. Finally, earlier this month, the ASO Address Council began the election process for ICANN Board Seat 9. The deadline for nominations is December 17. The selected candidate will serve a three-year term beginning at the conclusion of ICANN 63 in October 2018. For more information about this and other ASO matters, please visit aso.icann.org. I'll also post some links in the chat for everyone. And with that, we'll transition away from the supporting organizations and over to the advisory committees with my colleague Heidi going first. Heidi?
Thank you very much, Carlos. Hello, everyone. My name is Heidi Arich. I'm Vice President for Policy Development and At-Large Relations. And I'm delighted to give you a preview of the key topics and activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, or the ALAC, and the At-Large Community during ICANN 60. This first slide shows the key areas of focus for the ALAC and At-Large during ICANN 60. We'll be focusing on three main topics. The first is the At-Large Review. In response to the At-Large Review report by the Independent Examiner, the At-Large Review Working Party completed their feasibility assessment and implementation plan in early September. Later that month, members of the At-Large Review Working Party presented the key aspects of the report to the Board Organizational Effectiveness Committee, the OEC. The OEC is currently reviewing all aspects of the At-Large Review, and At-Large will be continuing to discuss the topic during ICANN 60. The next topic is the new GTLDs. At-Large will be also looking at many aspects of new GTLDs, including community applications, applicant support, stream confusion, and closed generics. And finally, the third key area is the Asian Australian, Australasian and Pacific Islands Regional At-Large Organization, APRALO, will be holding their General Assembly. And approximately 45 AP RALO at-large structure, or ALSs, representatives will participate in this assembly. As part of the activities, a series of capacity development sessions on policy issues will be held Saturday through Tuesday. The General Assembly will focus on policy priorities, regional programs, and enhancing ALS and individual member engagement. That's taking place on Wednesday, and also that same day there will be an AP RALO showcase celebrating 10 years of diversity within AP RALO, and everyone is invited to join that. I'd like to then next go to the some of the sessions that you'll see for At-Large during ICANN 60. They'll be having 15 and a half hours of face-to-face time, the At-Large leadership team, as well as sessions with several SOs and ACs. And the first will be on policy discussions. We'll be talking issues, as I mentioned, new GTLDs, also Workstream 2 issues, the approach to public comments, and review of at-large working groups. On the project activities, Atlas 3 planning will take place, and Atlas 3 is scheduled to take place in ICANN 64. And they'll also be looking at outreach and engagement issues, including at not only at ICANN 60, but also the IGF coming up in December. They'll also have several people from the Global Indigenous Ambassador Program pilot active during ICANN 60. Thirdly, on the review updates, as I mentioned, the at-large review will be a topic, but they'll also be hearing about the CCTRT as well as the SSRRT. On bilateral meetings, the ALAC will be meeting with the board, the CCNSO, the GAC, and the SAC. For RALO activities, in addition to ALAC activities, there will be several activities of the regional at-large organizations, or the RALOs. AFRALO AFRICOM will be holding their traditional meeting on the theme of the GDPR. APRALO will be having their GA, as mentioned. URALO will be signing an MOU with RIPE NCC. And LACRALO and NURALO will be having informal meetings. Also, the RALO leaders will be holding a regional leadership meeting as well as RALO development session. Finally, on the working group updates, several at-large working groups will hold sessions to advance their work. These are the Accessibility Working Group, Capacity Building Working Group, Public Interest Working Group, the Subcommittee on Outreach and Engagement. They're also holding a session for local students on Monday, and the Technology Task Force. And the response to the quiz was correct, was 10 years of celebrating diversity for AP RALO. This concludes the at-large update. And I would now like to hand the floor over to my colleague, Rob Hogarth, who will provide an update on the activities of the GAC. Rob?
Thanks very much, Heidi. Good day, everyone. Thanks very much for joining the webinar and for giving me a few minutes to share with you some of the themes and activities of the Governmental Advisory Committee at ICANN 60. The GAC has 35 individual sessions over 6 days planned on a variety of topics. They generally follow a number of different themes or areas of interest. One, and you've heard this from my other colleagues mention them, a series of bilateral meetings that the GAC will have with other members of the ICANN SO and AC community, including with the board. There's also a series of sessions on a variety of substantive policy topics, and you see some of those on the slide that's displayed in the room right now. There's also a series of operational matters. A number of the fundamental work of the GAC issues take place at the GAC meetings in the public meetings, and operational matters with respect to how the GAC operates with the empowered community, a review of the general operating principles of the GAC, how various activities are conducted, are going to be some areas of focus of a variety of the sessions. There's also going to be a GAC capacity development workshop on the first day of ICANN 60, that Saturday, for Middle East community members. And we hope that some of you on the phone will be able to join that to learn more about the GAC generally, how it conducts its work, and some of the important issues that it's currently looking at. Of course, an important feature of any public meeting is the development of the GAC communique. The GAC has over 6 hours of time devoted to that exercise in Abu Dhabi, and of course we expect that there will be a communique that's generated out of the ICANN 60 meeting, as it's typically generated at other meetings. The time in Abu Dhabi has a general theme, if you will, and that is a time of transition. That's for a couple of key reasons. One is that since Johannesburg, we've seen the introduction of 50 new participants to the GAC. These aren't necessarily new representatives from particular countries or particular members, but reflect transitions from people who participate in the GAC, folks who do represent some of the various countries, territories, or observing organizations. And so we'll be welcoming a number of new people in that capacity. Secondly, half of the GAC leadership team is transitioning. Notably, the chair of the GAC, Thomas Schneider, is stepping down, and currently the GAC is conducting an election to fulfill the remainder of Thomas's two-year term. There will also be two new GAC chairs, GAC vice chairs announced during the Abu Dhabi meeting, and the new leadership team will be meeting at the end of the week to plan its work for the coming year. It's important for you all to appreciate and know that traditionally now GAC sessions are completely open to public observation, both in person and via remote participation. So we hope that many of you will take advantage of the opportunity to drop by for a session or two, or for those of you who are parts of the GAC community, that you'll be able to fully participate throughout the course of the week. I'm happy to delve into any details about any of the aspects of the GAC agenda during ICANN 60, during the question and answer period. And otherwise, I look forward to seeing or hearing many of you in Abu Dhabi here in just a couple of weeks. Thanks very much, and I'll pass the microphone on to my colleague. I believe Andrew McConaughey will be our next speaker. Andrew, I'll turn the mic over to you. Thanks.
Thanks, Rob. This is actually Carlos Reyes. I'll be filling in for Steve Sheng today, and I'll be providing an update on the work of the Root Server System Advisory Committee. As most of you are aware, the Root Server System Advisory Committee, or the RSAC, is responsible for advising the ICANN community and board on matters relating to the operation, administration, security, and integrity of the Root Server System. For ICANN 60, the RSAC will be following up, giving presentations on its most recent report, RSAC 028, which is a technical analysis of the naming scheme used for individual root servers. In this document, the RSAC evaluates, basically conducts six different naming schemes and documents the advantages and disadvantages of each. It's a risk analysis of the various alternative naming schemes used for root servers. The RSAC will also be providing updates on its root server system evolution work. If any of you have been following the work of the RSAC for the past 2 years, the RSAC has embarked on a series of workshops to evolve global DNS root service. Currently, their work is grouped into 7 different areas, strategic, architectural, and policy functions, a financial function, performance monitoring and accountability functions, as well as a designation and removal function. And then they are evaluating 3 different groups within the root server system, which is the DNS root server stakeholders, root server operations, and potentially exploring a root server operators association. Their most recent workshop was held earlier this month in College Park, Maryland, and the report from that workshop will be available in the coming week or so. It's anticipated to be published in time for ICANN 60. But for now, the previous workshop report is available on the RSAC webpage. And then finally, just to touch on the 3 work parties in the RSAC right now, there's a work party on the distribution of Anycast instances. That group is currently finalizing its report, as well as a work party on harmonization of anonymization procedures for data collecting, and another work party on packet sizes. Both of these work parties are very much in the beginning phases of their work, and they'll be also meeting at the IETF 100 meeting. From here, I'll transfer the mic over to my colleague, Andrew McConaughey, and he'll provide an update on the ESSEC.
Thanks, Carlos. My name is Andrew McConaughey, and I'm here to provide a quick update on the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, otherwise known as the ESSEC, and their activities at ICANN 60. The ESSEC will hold its normal DNS SEC for everybody, a beginner's guide. This is something which the ESSEC has done at, I think, many of the past annual general meetings. And it's a really good introduction to DNSSEC for the non-technical, as well as the technical. They might learn something as well. But it is very much an educational outreach action by the ESSEC and meant to provide some very basic information about DNSSEC for folks who are interested. There will also be the DNSSEC workshop. This is much more technically focused. A lot of operators are going to be there presenting things on DNSSEC, as well as there'll be a lot of focus on the KSK rollover, the key rollover in DNSSEC, and all the activities going on around that. So that's a very technically focused activity, and if you're into that, you should consider going. Finally, there'll be the ESSEC public meeting, where the ESSEC will meet publicly. That's it. I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Ozan. Ozan, take it away.
Thank you, Andrew. And this is Ozan Shahin speaking. I'm Community Services Senior Coordinator in the Policy Development Support Team of ICANN working out of Istanbul office. We will now continue with question and answer session. As you might have noted on the screen, Adobe Connect Room microphones have now been enabled. To activate your microphone, please click on the microphone icon at the top of the toolbar and follow the instructions. I would also like to remind you to mute your microphone when not speaking. During the registration period for this open house, we have received some questions through the registration form. As you think about questions to ask Policy Development Support Team now and activate your microphones, I would like to go through some of the questions we have received so far. In the meantime, please feel free to either raise your hand or type your question or comment in the chat box. So I'm now reading the first question we have received. is how to protect the geographic names in the new GTLDs process with regard to the protection of our regional, national, cultural, geographic, and religious significance. Emily, would you like to comment and respond on that question?
Sure, Ozan, thank you. Hi, everyone. This is Emily Barabas from the Policy Support Team. And this is a topic that is quite timely and one that we actually touched on a little earlier in the webinar under the CCNSO section that Bart spoke to. So for a little bit of background first, the existing new GTLG geographic names implementation is contained within the applicant guidebook. And that provides a rule set for country and territory names, including, for example, 2- and 3-character codes on the ISO 3166-1 list, but also things like capital city names, subnational names, and so forth. For those who are interested in policy development, the topic of geographic names is part of the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures PDP Working Group's charter. And the work of the PDP draws heavily on the CCWG on the use of country and territory names, as well as the GAC Working Group on geographic names. So those are key inputs. The new GTLD Subsequent Procedures PDP Working Group is now just setting up a team called Work Track 5, and that's going to be dedicated specifically to the topic of geographic names at the top level. And given that there's community-wide interest in this topic, the PDP co-chairs are going to seek to enhance inclusiveness within existing mechanisms under the ICANN bylaws, as well as the GNSO operating procedures. As such, there will be a co-lead from the ALAC, from the CCNSO, from the GAC, and from the GNSO to help steward the process and make it as inclusive as possible. WorkTrack 5's goal will be to achieve an outcome that has consensus support within the WorkTrack. And WorkTrack 5's co-leads are now working on mutually agreed upon terms of reference, which will spell out the specifics of WorkTrack 5's operations. The final goal of WorkTrack 5 will be to develop a consensus outcome, which could include, for example, policy recommendations or perhaps even a validation of existing implementation in the 2012 applicant guidebook. And I'm just going to say one more thing about consensus, because that's a topic that's been of interest to a lot of people observing the setup of WorkTrack 5. Generally speaking, it's always the goal to try to achieve full consensus among all participants, meaning support or non-objection, and at a minimum, consensus as laid out in the GNSO operating procedures, a position where only a small minority disagrees but most agree, is needed for the GNSO Council to consider recommendations for adoption. In other words, consensus will be needed to effectuate change. So I hope that's helpful as background. And for those who are interested in this topic, two opportunities are coming up very soon. The first one will be a session at ICANN 60. It's listed in the schedule as the second session, the second face-to-face session of the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures PDP Working Group. And that will take place on Wednesday, November 1st at 8:30 a.m. And that will be focused exclusively on this topic. And the second thing to look out for is that there's going to be an announcement very soon for those who are interested in participating in WorkTrack 5. That's open to the entire community. Anyone can join. You don't need to be part of the working group. You don't need to be a part of the GNSO. So keep an eye out for an announcement that should be coming very soon. And we look forward to your participation. Thanks.
Thank you, Emily. This again, Ozan speaking. I'm seeing no hands raised at the moment, and no questions typed in the chat pod yet. So we actually have more quizzes before moving on to the other questions. So do you know who the candidates are for the upcoming GNSO chair election? Could you please mark your choice on that quiz question? And I'm going to share the results with you in 10 seconds. So we have quite a number of people who responded no. Marika, would you like to comment on this question, as there are 11 people on this open house who said no?
Yes, thank you very much, Ozan. This is Marika. I'm happy to answer that question. And as I noted before, we actually have the candidate for that position with us on the call today, and it's actually Heather Forrest, who is a current vice chair of the GNSO. She has a seat there for the intellectual property constituency, and she's the candidate that has been put forward by the non-contracted party house of the GNSO to take this position. It may be worth noting, and it was a bit of a cheeky question that I've put there, candidates, because although no one else has been officially put forward as part of the GNSO operating procedures, it is a requirement that she actually runs against the infamous none of the above candidates. So for those of you interested to see the outcome of that election, please join us on Wednesday afternoon for the open GNSO council meeting. And Heather, if there's anything you want to add, of course, please feel free.
Thank you, Marika. And here comes another quiz then. With this quiz, the question is, do you know what WorkTrack 5 is about? Can you please respond and mark your choice? And I'll share the results in 15 seconds with you. So here are the results. We have some number of attendees who know about it and some others who don't. So Bart, would you like to comment a bit about WorkTrack 5?
I think I'm not the most appropriate person to do it. This isn't a subsequent procedures GNSO related track. So maybe Marika or Emily, could you take the floor?
Hi, Bart. This is Emily, following up again on WorkTrack 5. So I'll just reiterate a couple of key points that we just touched on in response to this recent question about geographic names more generally. So the key takeaways are that WorkTrack 5 is a sub-team or a smaller group within the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group. It's just being formed now. So a call for volunteers is going to be going out very soon for those who are interested. And the topic is specifically going to be about geographic names at the top level, which is a topic in this PDP's charter, but is also a topic that's really of interest throughout the community. So key points, there's going to be a shared leadership model from across the community, so including members of the ALAC, the CCNSO, the GAC, and the GNSO. Participation is open. It's encouraged for everyone to be involved in this discussion. And the goal is to reach consensus on a set of recommendations about how geographic names at the top level should be handled in future procedures related to new GTLDs. So if there are any additional questions about that, or if it's not clear, please do put follow-ups in the chat, and I'd be happy to answer them. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Emily. So let's pause here and go back to our already received questions. And the second questions we received through the registration form was status of the SSR2 review, GDPR, and implications of who is going dark for the security, technical, and law enforcement community. Steve, would you like to respond to that question?
Thank you, Ozan. These are, in fact, two questions. The first question is regarding the status of the SSR2 review. As you know, the ICANN is mandated by its bylaw to review the security, stability, and resiliency, every 5 years, and the SSR2, we're in the second of that review period. Recently, there has been some a communication from the board expressing concern about the SSR2 review stepping out of its mandate. And also a letter from ESSEC expressing similar concerns. So the board the community are, you know, in conversation to see how best to put this on a better footing, and there will be discussions at ICANN 60. Regarding the GDPR, which is a data privacy regulation at the European Union, in response to that, we have some registrars that went out to say they would shut off their HUID service. So the situation is fluid. The registration data service is a very important tool for the security, technical, and law enforcement community. On the other hand, the registrars and registries also have to apply by relevant regulations. So these has been topics of ongoing discussion, and in this regard, probably some of the practices of the CCTLDs in the European region, how they handle the display of the WHOIS information could be a useful guide for the rest of the community. So discussion is ongoing. We expect to have some of those at Abu Dhabi as well. Thanks. Ozan, back to you.
Thank you, Steve. Sorry for that. I was coming off mute, and it took a bit long time than I expected. I still see no hands in the no hands raised and no questions in the chat box. So I will move on to the third question, and let me read it out loud. When is the next decision about the .Amazon delegation to be expected? So David, would you like to respond to that question?
Thank you, Ozan. Yes, this relates to the independent review process proceeding between Amazon, the company, and ICANN, challenging the new GTLD program decision not to proceed with the granting of that .Amazon to that applicant based on advice from the Governmental Affairs Committee. The board, of course, discussed this at its workshop at the end of September and also talked about the need to address, through its resolution, the procedural points, and then talked about the consideration needed on the panel's non-binding recommendation that the board further consider this. The board then resolved that it would ask its Board Accountability Mechanism Committee to review the entire issue and report back to the full board, and there shall be discussions at Abu Dhabi about this topic, and those will be the next steps. I will point in the board resolution for you to review. It has all the details and the facts of what the board did in September as it proceeds to look to the proper recommendation on the panel's non-binding suggestion that they reevaluate the application. So that's the status. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And now moving on to the fourth question that we received. What is the place and role of MPAC in ICANN policy development process? And Marika, would you like to respond to that?
Yes, thank you very much, Ozan. This is Marika again. Assuming that MPOC, and for those of you that may not know what it stands for, it's a not-for-profit operational concerns constituency, which is one of the groups that operates within the GNSO, or the generic name supporting organization, assuming that they're referring to the GNSO policy development process, I would like to say at the outset, any PDP working group is open to anyone interested to participate in. So anyone that has an interest can show up and participate in what are usually weekly conference calls over a longer period of time to deliberate on policy topics that result in or hopefully result in policy recommendations that are put forward to the GNSO Council for its consideration. And having said that, there is a specific role foreseen in the PDP for GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, as well as ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees, as the working group has an obligation to reach out to these groups to provide their input, and that input is expected to be considered and seriously analyzed to see how it can be addressed and to as well document how it has been addressed as part of the working group deliberations. So it's one specific role. So in addition to individual volunteers from the MPOC or any other group to participate in the PDP, there's also specific requests for input that go out to the different groups to provide input. And again, that request is repeated at the time of publication of an initial report. Further down the road, once the working group has completed its work and recommendations are sent to the GNSO Council, there's of course another role there for the representatives from the different stakeholder groups and constituencies as the manager of the policy development process to assure that all the necessary steps and procedures have been followed as part of the PDP. And if the GNSO Council finds indeed that has happened and consensus has been received, it is then for the GNSO Council to consider and usually subsequently approve the recommendations and then forward those to the ICANN board. So there's also a role for stakeholder groups and constituencies there to ensure that processes have been followed. I hope that's helpful. I may want to add as well that support, secretariat support is provided to the different GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies to assist them in their activities and ensure their participation in policy development processes as well as GNSO Council activities. So I'm hoping that answers the question.
Thank you, Marika. And I'm moving on to the fifth question, as I see no hands raised or questions typed in the chat box. The fifth question is, what is the policy to promote the use of internationalized domain names? Tim, would you like to respond to that IDN question?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So for the internationalized domain names, these are names that are not in a Unicode that are not the typical traditional rules, which are letter-digit hyphens. They enable a much wider repertoire, and that enables people who are not native English speakers to interact with the domain name system directly through their native scripts. For the policy, promote the use of IDNs. We have the generic name policy that opens up the IDNs for the top level. We have the CCTLD policy that opens up the IDN at the top level for CCTLDs. In addition, two other initiatives. One is called the label generation rule. This is this is a community project aiming to define the conservative mechanism that determines valid code points. As we all know, the internet has one rule zone, and therefore the policy it adopts tend to be, you know, slightly different from than any other zones. But there needs to be a generation rules for the stable and secure manner of using IDNs. And then there's to promote IDNs, ICANN has another initiative called Universal Acceptance that provides information resources to developers of various sorts on how to integrate IDNs in their processing of applications. So those kind of a whirlwind tour of several initiatives that ICANN is doing to promote the use of IDNs. Thanks.
Thank you for the response, Steve. We still haven't received any questions, real-time questions, in the Adobe Connect room, and we covered the questions that we have already received through the registration form. Rob, you noted that during your presentation, lowering barriers to participation is a notable topic or theme for the GAC community in Abu Dhabi. Can you explain more what is meant by that term?
Sure, Ozan, thanks. Let's see. Well, this was a concept, I think, that originally was spearheaded by the GAC, for formal discussions, at least, back at the first ICANN policy forum, back at ICANN 56 in Helsinki. But frankly, it's been a topic that many of you in the community have talked about for a long period of time. This concept of how do we, frankly, maximize the brain power of all of you, so that we can focus on really informed and active participation in policy development and policy advice activities. And it's been a theme, particularly from the GAC chair, Thomas Schneider, but echoed by a number of other community leaders, that it really needs to be a developing priority of the ICANN organization to figure out ways to, I don't know, improve communication channels, improve information flow, improve knowledge and learning, so that not only are you as members of the community aware, like you're learning on this webinar, of what things are happening, but also to introduce that element of, you know, how do you learn about a topic, particularly if you're somebody who's a newcomer or somebody who might not be familiar with a particular area of the DNS or DNS policy development. And so this is a GAC theme at Abu Dhabi, and something that the GAC leadership has really decided to emphasize in all of its bilateral meetings, and to also color discussions about operations, from simple things to how do we consistently manage the document production in terms of labeling it, dating it, indicating in executive summaries what a topic might be, ranging to how do the individual SOs and ACs communicate with each other, sharing information through liaison functions or identifying more formal or informal ways of working. So thanks for raising the question, Ozan. I think it's fundamentally something that we all members of the ICANN community, are really going to be much more focused on here in the post-IANA transition, in this new world of an empowered community, to really find ways to maximize that communication flow, maximize that knowledge and learning, and really find better ways to work together and collaborate. Thanks for the opportunity to expand on that a bit and clarify that, Ozan. I'd be delighted if anyone who's a participant on the call from the community has any observations, comments, or suggestions about that, and we'll otherwise looking forward to reinforcing those themes in a couple of weeks in Abu Dhabi. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rob. I'm pausing here to see if there are any comments, questions in either chat box or through the audio bridge. So then that wraps up our open house today. Recordings and slides from this webinar will be posted on the policy presentation space on the ICANN website, and I'm pasting the link in the chat box now. So I will give the floor to David Olive for his final remarks. Thank you for joining.
Thank you, Ozan, and all of you for joining us on this policy open house in a new interactive format. I first would like to go back to my opening remarks and the quiz that I had about how many sessions of the 354 at ICANN 60 will be devoted to policy and advice development activities. And now we have the results. And actually, it is at this stage more than 150 sessions will be devoted to that, policy advice and related activities of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. And we are very pleased to have that happen. But in particular, why I point this out is that the development process for advice or policies occur at every ICANN meeting and in between the ICANN meetings through conference calls and the like. And the number of 150 or more reflect the hard work of you, the community, who are active in the various working groups or the councils or the other structures that provide the mechanism and governance of our domain name system. And so to that extent, it's a tribute to you and your activities to move policy and advice development forward at the face-to-face meetings, at ICANN meetings, as well as doing the hard work in between. And that to that point, it was interesting. We do try to keep general track of the activity levels through the various calls and meetings and email exchanges. And for the first quarter, which is July, August, and September of 2017, there were 722 calls, meetings, councils, working groups, 808 call hours, and 15,000 email exchanges, which again shows you the activity of the various SO and AC groups as they actively engage in each other in discussing, exchanging ideas, and moving policy or advice or other parts of ICANN activities forward to an ICANN meeting where we have, of course, other results or decisions by the various councils and committees. So to that extent, I just wanted to point that out. The activity level is high for you, the volunteer community, and we thank you for your active participation in those working groups and councils, as well as on this call today. With that, I would like to see if there are any other last-minute comments or questions. With that, we hope we've provided you with a useful guide, both in terms of the written materials that have in-depth descriptions of the various works of the supporting organizations and advisory committees going into ICANN 60. The policy development report of the GNSO is also a detailed report, and our overviews on the activities taking place. We also remind you about the cross-community discussions that talk about some of these policy development issues and other topics of vital concern to our ICANN community. So with that, I would like to thank everyone for being here and joining us, allowing us to share the information as you prepare for the meeting in Abu Dhabi. And be it directly through your participation or through remote participation, you are able to be part of the ICANN procedures and processes, and we encourage you to do that. For those traveling to Abu Dhabi, safe travels. We hope to see you there in person or online at every remote participation session. With that, I wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be. And thank you again for being part of this webinar.